We're in Nehemiah chapter 4 today, not coincidentally. Talking about opposition as the walls are rebuilt. Nehemiah chapter 4. Last week from Nehemiah 3, we talked about how many different people came together to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. The entire community was called to be a part of the rebuilding, whether or not they were skilled at construction. We made the comparison that from the New Testament that as we are different parts of the body of Christ coming together like living stones, coming together to make up His church. As the body of with different parts, we have to learn how to worship together and how to fellowship together and how to serve together in order to bring glory to God, our Creator and Sustainer, our Redeemer. Today in chapter 4, we're going to see as that work progressed, how Nehemiah and the people of Judah came together in the face of opposition, and they accomplished the work that God had set out for them to do. Nehemiah, you know, had put in the prayer time long before he started this job. He had spent nearly 4 months praying and fasting, and God called him to the task, and he did not vary from it. He had no reason to doubt what he needed to do, and he led the people to overcome opposition and to carry on with their work. They prayed and they made plans. They prayed and they took up arms. They prayed and they got busy. And it is a glorious picture of the harmony of heavenly work and earthly work coming together. And I want you to see that in the story today. When God's work comes together with the work of His people on earth, miraculous things happen. And we can be a part of that. Every day we can be a part of that. Let's read from Nehemiah chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones." Look at the prayer in verse 4. "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to this work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each of us to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out. We are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when we went for water." Well, we've read these names before, Sanballat and Tobiah. They always intended to trouble the people of Judah. They did not want Jerusalem to be strong. Even though they had received clear instruction from the king of Persia to support the rebuilding, they were trying to prevent God's people from doing what God had told them to do. Does it surprise you that people would come against the Jews even though they were following God's instruction? Even though they were authorized and supplied by one of the mightiest kings in the world at the time? Even though rebuilding Jerusalem would make the region stronger? Well, we find similar movements throughout history, and even today, enemies of God never want the people of God to flourish. They never want to lose power or wealth or influence. They never want to accept that God is God even over them. When we watch the news today, you can look at the newspaper or online news or listen to the TV today, and you'll see some of the same kinds of things happening. Ridicule, rumors, threats, communist groups, radical Islam, and just some plain old goofy, clueless people who are coming against Israel because they're Israel. I'm not saying Israel's perfect. I'm not saying that they're not, that their leadership is perfect. But people come against them just because they're Israel. And the same kinds of people want to see the end of the United States, partly because we support Israel. People who are against God do not want God's people to do well. They do not want God's work to happen. So what should we do? Well, let's pay attention to what Nehemiah did. It will help us. The ridicule, the slander, and the rumors from Sanballat and Tobiah were meant to discourage the people of Jerusalem. Now, Sanballat knew that if he just waged an all-out war against Jerusalem, he would have to answer to the king of Persia. So he led a slander campaign. And he did parade his military around along with Tobiah And they made fun and tried to shame the Jewish workers. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, the land to the north of Judah. Now, all of that land, Samaria, at one time was Israel. It was the northern kingdom of Israel. And yet it had been lost probably 300 years before because they had become unfaithful. They had become corrupt under the leadership of kings like Ahab and his sons. And God sent his judgment by foreign armies and destroyed those tribes. They have never again reformed. And here, Sanballat was assigned by Persia as governor of that land. And he did have an army. He had some local clout and some power, but he was limited. It looks to me like he talked a bigger game than he could muster. His friend Tobiah was similar. And every time I read this, I feel like Tobiah is that little yapping dog beside the big dog, you know? He just, yeah, what he said. He was a wealthy governor of Ammon, just to the east of the Jordan River. Descendants of Lot. Tobiah is a Hebrew name. He was Israelite, but he certainly wasn't loyal to Judah. His name means something like Yahweh is good. He was related to Eliashib, the high priest in Jerusalem. And he was married to the daughter of one of the returning exiles. His son was married to the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah, that we read about several times last week, one of the workers on the wall. You see, Tobiah had sources inside Jerusalem, and he was getting information. He was getting information from inside Jerusalem. He was a conniving man who wanted power. That prayer interjected in verses 4 and 5 is not specifically quoted as coming from Nehemiah, but he's the writer here. I think it's likely that it's his prayer, praying that God would turn the insults of the enemies back on their own heads. Give them up as plunder. Do not forgive them. Does that seem cruel to you? They were enemies of God. I think it's okay to pray that they would be defeated. And we find these short prayers all through Nehemiah. We know that in the beginning he prayed for a long time before he took up the job, but we see these little prayers scattered throughout. Nehemiah knew that God had called him to go to Jerusalem and lead the rebuilding, and yet he just kept praying. He kept on praying. Anytime we see these things crop up, we see prayer. So maybe our first action when we come against opposition ought to be praying. Lord, help me here in the face of this trouble. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Now, Nehemiah kept calm. He was not distracted from his mission. He took action to defeat the slander campaign. He called on God to take action, but he did not quit working and go hide somewhere. He didn't wait for God to eliminate all the trouble before he kept on moving. He had a plan and he kept working. He identified the enemy. He prepared. He took action. They kept on rebuilding. And fairly quickly, they had the wall built up about halfway. He said, because the people were committed to the work. They worked with their whole hearts. Sanballat and Tobiah were not happy about the progress, so they recruited allies and formed a military threat all the way around Jerusalem. on every side of Jerusalem. Sanballat ruled to the north in Samaria. Tobiah had authority and resources to the east. The Arabs had authority and a very capable military to the south. We previously read that their leader was Geshen. And here in chapter 5, we read that the people of Ashdod joined the force against Judah in display of military threat to the west of the city. Ashdod was, that they were people who were descendants of the Philistines along the coastline of the Mediterranean. They had always been enemies of God. I reckon Nehemiah could have been very concerned. He was surrounded. The actions of the enemy leaders were probably only bridled by their fear of the Persian Empire, who had sent Nehemiah with permission and with provisions. They should have been afraid of God. And then there's another prayer mentioned in verse 9. They prayed and they posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. They called on heaven and they took earthly action. I was told by Maxine Poindexter's grandson, only you old folks know Maxine, but she was the church lady here for a long time, stalwart of the faith. But her grandson said that she told him this one time, if you have a toothache, pray on your way to the dentist. The workers became tired and frustrated. That's normal. They were working constantly. They were working hard. The job was hard. Many of them were not accustomed to this kind of work. They heard the threats and the ridicule. They heard reports about these armies forming all around them. Everyone was talking about it. Reports were coming in constantly about all of these armies amassing around the city. People were beginning to fear. They were tired. Let's read verses 13 and 14 again. Nehemiah says, after I looked things over, I stood up. Excuse me, I'll go back to 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. I love Nehemiah's response to these threats and worries. He strategically prepared for an assault. He gathered information so that he knew what was coming against him. He deployed people accordingly, and he gave them this terrific rally speech. I love it. Remember who our God is. The great and awesome God. Now, awesome there is not used like kids say today, or we say it. Oh, that's awesome. It means God is terrifying and mighty. And he's on our side. Church, he's on our side. Remember, we work for God. Do not fear. Fight for your families. Fight for your sons and daughters, your wives, and your homes. I don't think there's any more contemporary rallying speech that we need to hear today. Fight for your families. Nehemiah called on the God of heaven, and he took action. From that day on, until the wall was completed, the people of Judah worked under guard and armed with weapons. Apparently, Nehemiah had identified a select group who he divided into guards and to work leaders. The guards were prepared and stationed for combat. They had spears and shields and bows and armor. The people who were designated to carry materials worked with a sword in their hand because they had to go outside the wall, you see. They had to go out there and get more material and bring it in. Maybe they had to go dump the rubble outside the wall. Maybe they had to go for water. But he said, keep a sword in your hand. Be ready. They were vulnerable, so they were armed and ready. The stonemasons and the gate builders strapped swords on their sides. They would be ready when the assault came. Nehemiah talked to the leaders of the smaller groups. He recognized how spread out the people were, so he assigned a trumpeter, and he kept the trumpeter close to him. I reckon Nehemiah was constantly looking over the work, going from place to place, checking on the wall, estimating where the enemy might come, looking where the resources needed to be, and making himself ready to respond. And he was praying. And he was counting on the living God. Friday morning, before daylight, Sandy and I took Keith and Christy Whitehurst to the airport so that they could go and help Texas Baptist in a rebuild project where some houses were badly damaged by storms. And so that's what they're doing. They're running some college teams from Baylor to roof some houses. And I say that to lead to this. In the communication before that little ride and during the ride, we talked about Nehemiah because it's something that Keith and I have discussed over the years. And on one of our phone calls, I heard Christy say in the background, tell the church, come running when you hear the trumpet. Come running when you hear the trumpet. Verse 20, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. The people of Judah continued to work. They were armed and ready to fight, but they continued to work. They stayed inside the walls at night, slept with their clothes on. They called on God, and they remained ready. Church, we're all busy, aren't we? How many times do we say to ourselves and to each other, we're just so busy. We're too busy. We admit it. We're too busy. And we're often reluctant to call on anyone for help. Sometimes we don't know how to ask. Sometimes we don't know how to help. We don't want to trouble anyone. We don't want to embarrass anyone or stick our nose in somebody else's business. When it comes to the health of the body, we need to get over it. We need to ask for help. We need to be willing to help. It's hard. A deacon said to me yesterday, this carrying each other's burdens is tough. Scripture is clear that the people of the church should share each other's joys and burdens. We should share our resources and do our best to take care of each other. We need to call on the God of heaven. And we need to take action. Do you need help learning how to raise your children to love God? So happens we have a parenting class starting the first Wednesday of September. And maybe even if you can't make the class, get involved in a Sunday school group or a D group during the week. Find some help. Somebody said it takes a community, it takes a village to raise a child, and I reckon that's true, but look around. You've got a wonderful village. Do you need physical help? Just getting things sorted? We've got people who are pretty good at it. Now, sometimes the list gets long, and we'll prioritize that list, but we'll do our best to help. Do you need help repairing your marriage? The very walls of your family? Blow the trumpet. Don't wait. Blow the trumpet. Like I said, sometimes we may not know how to help, but we need to try. We need to call on heaven. We need to survey the trouble. We need to gather information and make a plan. We need to get our hands dirty and be willing to work day and night and be armed for the spiritual fight. You see, that's the kind of battles most of us are fighting. Spiritual battles. Church, I promise you, the more intent we get about the work of the Lord, the more we become kingdom focused, the more the devil is going to come against us. And he strikes us where we're weak. He strikes us where it counts most. We need to arm ourselves and be ready. When we're not laboring or fighting, we need to be building up our resources. We need to be training ourselves for the work that God has laid out for us to do. Can we set aside our own agendas for the work of the kingdom? We read in Philippians at the beginning of the service, put aside your own interests. It's really the work of the kingdom that is the dividing point in this story. The people of Judah, led by Nehemiah and others, were trying to do what God had sent them to do. God supplied authority. He supplied resources. He protected them. But the enemies of God rejected the task. They came against God's kingdom. Listen, make sure you're on the right side. Make sure that your comments and your attitudes align with God's kingdom. Do not set yourself on the outside coming against God's work with ridicule and threats. Let me make that more plain. Before what you say, what's coming out of your mouth, you better check and make sure you're on the right side of things. Check your heart. When you need help, sound the trumpet. When you hear the trumpet, come a running. Shoot off a prayer to the Lord, surveil the trouble, and get busy. I said at the beginning, there is a harmony of the divine resources of God and the work of His people that come together and accomplish miraculous things, healing things, building things. I hesitate to name because there's so many ways that that can happen. Physically, in our building, emotional healing, spiritual healing, spiritual growth, all sorts of ways. What we shouldn't do, and it's all too easy to do, is say, well, that's the way it goes, and give up. God has called us. to be His church. He empowers us. He equips us. He protects us. He guides us. Let us not feel weak. Let us not back away from the work that needs to be done. Only the nobles of Tekoa did not put their shoulders to the task. The rest of the people got to work. And the wall happened. Next week, we get to read about how that came together. Church, I feel like there's just all kind of things to say, but I need to quit talking. I pray that the Lord is putting whatever is needed on your heart. I pray that you hear from the Lord through His Word, His truth, and you know exactly where you need to apply it. And if you need to ask for help, ask for help. Blow the trumpet. Let's pray.